Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Joan Pride is here, too. Joan's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Hi there, Jim. Thanks a lot.
It's good to have you back.
Glad to be back.
I know. I can tell you're all on Twitter about the opportunity. You know, Joan, there's the old joke about when a group of people have an elephant in the living room, and typically the elephant's in the living room. It's this big monstrosity, this big obstruction, this huge challenge or problem or dysfunction that's basically just kind of crowding everybody out of the room. But nobody wants to admit that it's there. That's how the joke goes, is that,
right,
you know, we have this elephant in the living room and nobody wants to admit that we got this thing going on. Well, we've got this other thing going on in the United States, and it's a huge elephant in the living room. The difference is people aren't denying it. They're actually talking about it, but nobody's doing anything about it, are they? Tell us what that is.
I think you must be talking about immigration reform. The presence of illegal immigrants in this country. And it's really
In the United States, is there a bigger elephant inside our borders? Now, not outside the borders. Inside the borders, in your mind, is there a bigger elephant than immigration?
Well, what I was going to say is it's making for really weird political bedfellows,
yeah,
because it's such a huge issue, and the lines of argument don't fall the way they normally would.
Well, that's right, because we've got and this is now, you talk about something that'll freak you out. We got Ted Kennedy and George Bush sort of on the same wavelength.
Yeah, the president and many Democrats are on the same wavelength, because you've got a group of people, I guess, a large segment of the Republican Party, and there may be segments in the Democratic Party, I don't know, but a large segment of the Republican Party wants to, their main thing is to strengthen borders and not allow illegal immigrants to get anything that smacks of amnesty, whereas there's another whole contingent that says, you know, these workers are important to our economy. Let's tighten our borders, but let's also find a way to bring them into the population in a legal way, not calling it amnesty, but some kind of worker documentation. And there a lot of businesses feel that's an important issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, Joan, regardless of what I want or what you want, don't we both have to say, you know, if we're going to get this elephant out of the living room, I want to take it through the windows. You want to take it through the door. They want to take the roof off and lift it out of the roof. But at some point in time, don't we have to say, what's the most practical way? If it isn't my way, there is one fundamental thing that I know has to be done. We got to get this elephant out of here.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
But that's not happening.
First, you've got to acknowledge its presence, which we, you know, as you say, really needs to be done.
Well, I think we've done that. I mean, don't you think over the last 3 or 4 years, it's become clear? Is there anybody who's read a newspaper or paid attention to any kind of news program who doesn't know that we have approximately 12 million illegals in the country? I think most people know that now.
Right. Well, I guess my thought was the inaction to me is the failure. It's sort of, in its own way, a failure to acknowledge. I mean, if people really believe this is a big problem, people in Congress, they should have done something by now.
So you're saying
they haven't done anything.
Recognizing that we have 12 million illegal aliens and connecting that to a real problem that we have is two different things.
Well, they seem not to be realizing that it's a problem that needs action now. I mean, we've talked and talked and talked. How much longer are we going to talk?
But Joan, see this, and this is where you've lurched uncontrollably to my point. and that is this, that I want it to go out of the window so badly, and I'm convinced that only my way is the right way, that I'm willing to screw up everything else rather than let you have it your way and go out the door. And I'm willing to scorch the earth. I'm willing to take us all down because that's where politics, that's the condition we find ourselves in with politics these days.
Right.
Am I wrong about that?
Well, that's the problem with politics these days, is that there's no sense of compromise anymore.
Where's the leadership, Joan?
Right. Right. Well, where's the ability to compromise, too?
How long have we been looking for that answer?
Yeah. Where's a very long time.
Where's the leadership? At some point in time, here's what reasonable people do. Here's what leaders do. They say, you know what? I'm drawing a paycheck from the people who employ me. They've asked me to solve some problems. Here's the big one. And I need to make sure that the problem gets solved. If it isn't the way I want to have it done, if I can't make it happen that way, sure, I should. I mean, I don't blame anybody for staking their case, making their case and staking their claim on the way it should be done.
Right.
But at some point in time, I mean, when is the American people going to say, wait a minute, you guys aren't working for us. You're working for your own arguments. You're working for your own hard-headedness.
Right. Hard-headedness, that's the word.
Yeah. Ossification is a term I learned in college. When their cranial areas become so ossified that you can't get anything through it. But you know, Joan, this is very disturbing. And here's what I think is worse, Joan.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody is so obstinate about this, all the leaders, the so-called leaders, are so obstinate. Do you think the average American understands what the different issues are? The amnesty issues, what you mentioned a couple of the other things that a minute ago, the guest worker program. Mm-hmm. Should we build a wall? Should we allow for there are a lot of different issues.
Should we force employers to verify the accuracy or the truthfulness of the papers they're mm-hmm. given to show mm-hmm. some? I mean, that's a huge issue for employers.
Yeah, but we can't even get those fringe points done, can we? Let alone make an adult decision about what to do about the elephant.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
That's true. That's right.
And so I don't know, Joan, are we just screwed on this issue? I mean, is it impossible for politicians on the left and the right to ever come together on this issue?
Boy, God, I hate to think so, but you're painting an awfully pessimistic picture, so I don't know.
Well, I'm very pessimistic about this one.
Right.
I can't help it. I don't know what we're going to do, folks. We gotta find some way to compromise, and today, these days, compromise is not really much on the radar screen. Stand by, 20 after, we'll be right back with Joan Pryde. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the original one where you can listen to the show a number of different ways, including streaming it MP3 or podcasting it, or you can do an RSS subscription there. All of that's free. Don't forget to check out our blog while you're there. Don't forget to check out the ability to subscribe to my free email newsletter, which comes by on Sunday, every Sunday afternoon. Get our brand spanking new knowledge base for small business, askjim.biz. Check that out when you get a chance. And if you can get to any of our websites, we'll let you in. There's no barrier to entry. You don't have to tell us who you are. You don't have to give us your email address. Just come on in and use what we have. The water is fine. Joan Pryde is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, there's a natural process going on here with immigration and the whole immigration issue.
Right.
And an unnatural process going on.
Okay.
The unnatural process is what we just got through talking about. The dysfunction of our government, the inability of our government to extricate this elephant from our living room and wind up with any kind of a solution that will work.
Right.
The natural process, Joan, is the marketplace.
That's right.
I mean the difference between the economy, the marketplace, and the economy in Mexico, for example, and that in the United States is causing all the people from Mexico to want to come and make money and send it back. That's one of
the reasons. Sure, understandably, yeah.
And as you know, Joan, we've got lots of job openings here, don't we?
Oh, no question about it.
We need those workers. So that's a natural process, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And so the natural process, like water seeking its own, is going to do that very thing. It's going to seek its own level.
Right.
And that's created the supply and the demand. And the immigration
and the controversy
problem. Yeah, and the immigration and the elephant. That's how the elephant
right.
has grown to where it is.
Right. Exactly.
So it seems to me, Joan, that the solution is to start with the natural process, see what's causing it, and realize that it's not being caused by a bad thing. It's being caused by a good thing, by opportunity. Why don't we start there and say, okay. Let's don't kill the goose. She's laying some eggs. We just don't like the color gold that they are. Let's start with that process, and then work outward from there, and come up with some political solutions from that. What do you think?
Right. Well, you make a good point. If there was no opportunity here, these people wouldn't be trying to get in.
That's right.
They're trying to get in to have a better life, and they're helping our economy at the same time. To just throw them all out and keep them out, I think, is just cutting off our nose to spite our face.
And many people, Joan, will say, many economists will say, many business leaders will say, that if we didn't have these 12 million illegals, that our economy would be in big trouble.
Oh, absolutely. It would have to be, sure.
They are. We'd be in big trouble. So why don't we take the reality? Let's focus on the reality and solutions. But see, Joan, that's asking politicians to do what for them is an unnatural act.
Yes. Right.
So we're asking people who don't know how to do things in a natural way to solve a natural problem. And Joan, what we have here, Joan, if you and I were running a business,
uh-huh.
and we had those kinds of stakeholders, those kinds of employees on our staff.
Right.
Function in the environment that we have, that the real environment that we have, what would we do?
Well, I really don't know.
If we were going to,
we could do.
You know what we do? We would fire them, Joan.
Oh.
That's what businesses do. If we have a scenario, if we have an environment in our business that's our business model, and it includes our customers, the coming and the going of people and capital and is being done, etc., and
right.
that's our natural environment.
Mm-hmm.
And we have people who start being part of the problem and not part of the solution. We send them home. We say, "Have a good life. Go somewhere else."
So we need to do that with some of these people.
That's exactly right. We've got to do that. And,
yeah.
and but the problem is, Joan, is that I really think it hasn't become enough of a problem for the average American. I know a lot of people are concerned about it, but I think Americans are that way too. I mean, I think a lot of people who are indignant or upset about the immigration issue, I think they only want it to be their way.
Oh, sure. And they're very convinced of their rightness on this issue, as you said.
So we've just become a polarized nation on issues. Is that right?
I'm afraid so.
But why can't people notice how well you and I get along, even though we disagree on most everything?
We are polar opposites. That is true.
I mean, you see, they you and me as a model, couldn't
right.
we? Could be like the, we could be like the poster children for getting rid of the elephant. What do you think?
If you say so.
Joan, you're going to have to work with me on this.
I am? Oh, do I have to? Okay.
The other thing, and we'll come back after these messages, Joan, we'll talk a little bit about this, and then folks, there are some other things. There's some visa issues. A lot of businesses, a lot of industries need the brain power and the human power of some of the folks who are not being let in, and they should be. And we'll get Joan to help us with that. And then we'll move on. We're going to talk about the economy. We're going to talk about some new drugs that are being made available, too, that you'll be interested in. 29 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, just to wrap up on the visa thing, I mean the immigration thing, I should say. Kiplinger says no better than 50-50 odds this year, and you guys, in my opinion, you continue to be Pollyannas about this. 50-50. I think that ship has sailed.
I think 50-50 would be pretty good at this point.
I'd take 50-50. I mean,
exactly.
If they don't, guys, I think you guys point this out. They don't get anything done over the summer.
Right.
And by the time fall hits, they're going to be wide open. Heading into the presidential elections, you know, I think I've kind of like, I'm starting to yearn for the English model.
By that, what do you mean?
Well, look at how they're transitioning over in England. Tony Blair today, I think, is going to make an announcement about that he's going to step down in 6 weeks, and then they don't take very long to find the predecessor, to find the successor, I should say, and you know. Thank you, ma'am. It's over in a couple of months. None of this two-year business. I mean, Joan, think about how ineffective our government becomes while we're waiting. We're going through this election process.
Yeah.
It's too long, Joan.
It's terrible.
It's just too long. It's just horribly inefficient.
It is.
And it affects everything. It's like a tar baby. It pulls everything down.
Right.
You know,
a black hole.
Yeah, it's amazing. And so, I don't know. I think if we looked around and if anybody ever tabulated how much isn't getting done, it could be. If we didn't, I think we should have no more than six months. I think we should make it against the law. You can't campaign. You can't do anything to run for a president. You know, maybe 6 months before the election.
Boy, I'd vote for that.
Or at least a year.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do anything.
Up with primaries the year before the election if we're not careful.
Well, exactly right. And so I don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, yeah. It's a mess. Joan, let's move over. And talk about the economy. The Fed held rates steady, right?
Yes, I believe it did. And
yeah.
It seems like it's not leaning either way. It's going to stick with its stance for the time being.
Bill Dunkelberg was on the show this week, and he's the senior. I should say, for NFIB and a very, very capable economist. And he agreed when I asked him, you know, do you think the Fed would like to lower rates? Because the economy is languishing a little bit. And he said, yes, I think they would like to, but they can't because they're worried about inflation.
That's right. And there's other folks that see signs of weakening inflation that think that the Fed is dragging its feet, but the Fed thinks that... So we're stuck.
Well, and currently the annualized inflation rate, Joan, this year is over 4%.
Yes.
And so, how we're going to get out of that. I do believe, though, Joan, that I don't think we're in any kind of a recession threatened period. I think there's just a little bit of a lull. There's kind of a, I think we're just languishing a little bit. And taking a breather, but what we got to make sure, Joan, you know, when things are going great, you can make mistakes and recover from those.
Right.
But when things are going so good, you make mistakes. It's hard to get out of those.
So That's true.
I think we got to get through this low without making mistakes.
Yeah.
The only, you know, maybe Joan, I've answered my own question here. Maybe it's actually a great thing that they're focusing on all the elections, because while they're worrying about the elections, they're not. That we don't need.
Well, that's true too. So gridlock, you know, has its benefits.
So there's a silver lining in everything. Is that
that's
what you're
right.
saying, Joe?
Exactly, including.
Let's move down and talk about, Joan, you say a rise, and this is under your business law section in the letter, a rise in environmental law is going to be, means green. I like the way they play on word there for law firms. What do you mean by that? What's going
Boy,
on?
Boy, we really can turn a phrase, can't we?
You can.
I'm afraid law firms are going to be the ones cleaning up from these lawsuits. They're going to make a lot of money. We say greenbacks, that is. And these cases are going to involve water pollution, toxic chemicals, even nanotechnology.
Do you understand that, the nanotechnology thing?
No, I don't.
Well, what I'm worried about, Joan, and we're going to have to continue this after the next break, but I wonder if this is going to be, well, let me bring this up right after these next messages. Folks, it's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest. She's with the Kiplinger Editor. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17. Game, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and I encourage you to go to their website, folks, at kiplinger.com, K-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R. You can find the ability to subscribe to their publications there, the Kiplinger Letter Joan and I work off of every week, which is the weekly publication. Then they have the three biweekly letters, the California Letter, the Tax Letter, and the Agriculture Letter. And then, of course, they got that magazine, right, Joan?
You bet. It's called Finance Magazine.
And also on newsstands, but you can find it there at their website. And also, Joan, give us that phone number.
Right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Always encourage you to check out their website, folks. A lot of free stuff there as well.
Yep.
And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the flagship. And then the new knowledge base, askjim.biz. Check both of those out. And no barrier to entry. Whatever we have, you can have it for free. Joan,
isn't
that be nice people?
Gosh, no,
well, small business owners are on a budget. They got a tight budget.
That's
we try to give them what they need for nothing. Hey, Joan, back to quickly this environmental lawsuit thing. You know, Joan, if you remember many years ago when I was railing against the Kyoto Accords, and I said one of the things that we're going to have to realize is that the more we are forced to comply with Kyoto, the more our own justice system will be our own enemy. That in the United States, anybody in any country basically could come here and sue people if we pass laws to comply with laws that make us uncomfortable when we don't have the same kind of benefit to go to another country. So now you guys are reporting that these environmental lawsuits are on the way that are going to be a boon for maybe become a cottage industry for law firms. I'm concerned that the recent passage by the Supreme Court in favor of several attorneys general to make the EPA comply. It was to define carbon emissions as a threat. Is that what it was?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's how it was. And so, I think we're going to see that. That law firms are going to look at that ruling and try to make at least state cases out of it, if not federal cases out of it.
Right.
And this is an example, Joan. We have we have the best justice system on the planet, but sometimes it's the enemy of the of a lot of folks. And I'm concerned about this.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
It sure will, and we'll be reporting that to you, Joan.
Yep.
Are we worried about about China's military these days?
No, we say it's a growing worry, actually. And they're saying they're increasing military spending by up to 20% a year over the next 10 years. That means, and you might think, well, 20% of what? Well, we're saying China's going to spend $150 billion this year. Then that's only a small percentage of what the U.S. would spend. That sounds like a lot to me.
Well, it does sound like a lot to me. And I was hoping that we were pointing merchant ships at each other rather than weapons at each other. And
you've always said.
And, Joan,
yeah.
I wonder if this is an answer, sort of a peremptory answer to our position with Taiwan. You know what I mean? There's this unspoken understanding among everybody that we're going to defend Thailand. Taiwan. The island off of China, not in the Southeast Asia. That we're going to defend Taiwan.
Do you think we really would go to bat for them if there was some kind of serious?
I think we basically made that commitment, Joan.
We did.
I think we have.
I knew we had it years ago.
The Taiwanese believe that, I think. I'll be surprised if they don't. And so my point is maybe China is just, maybe this is our saber-rattling thing to let us know that, we might want to think twice before, because, China, Communist China, wants Taiwan under its umbrella.
Those are pretty expensive sabers, then.
They're not happy. You know, in a country like China, they don't worry about the cost of things like that. I mean, it's on the backs of their, they do that on the backs of their people.
That's true.
But anyway, it's something interesting. We needed another thing to worry about, right, Joe?
All right.
So it'll be interesting to see. And this is something, though, the next president's going to have to deal with.
Oh, definitely, yeah. This isn't going away anytime soon.
Well, let me tell you another reason why, Joan. Even though you've reported this, we got this information about their military buildup.
Right.
Don't forget the Olympics in China in 2008.
And that gives us a tremendous amount of leverage.
Until the Olympics are over.
Right. Oh, well, sure.
After that, all bets are off.
Right.
So the reason I say this is going to be something the next president's going to have to deal with is because China is going to make nice until then. Doing what they're doing, they're not going to wait till 09 to do this, but they're not going to deploy these troops or
they don't
use
want
them.
The Olympics. Sure.
That's exactly right. They're not going to mess it up. And as you may remember, I predicted that we wouldn't have a problem with North Korea because China would not let their threat in that region
prior
to the Olympics.
Right.
That the Olympics was going to make cause China to tell the North Koreans to set up.
Yes, but as you point out, only for the next 2 years.
And that's basically...
Or only for the next year, really.
Mm-hmm. The next president is going to have to deal with the axis of evil, probably, over the next, for the next president, is going to be Venezuela, Iran, and China, I think.
Wow.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. When we come back, folks, Kiplinger is reporting on a number of drugs that are going to be... that will help a lot of people, and we're going to talk about those right after these messages. Tintel, stay with us.
Well, nothing is going right.
Back, it's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, good news on the medical front, right?
Absolutely. This is great stuff.
Tell us about what this is all about.
Well, we're talking about some new drugs, and we're saying some of these potential blockbusters, both for folks who need them and financially for the companies who produce them. One is a cervical cancer vaccine called Cervarix. That's from GlaxoSmithKline. There's a drug called...
Can we stop on that one for just a minute?
Sure.
Is this the one that's the controversial one about that some people are talking about requiring young girls to have to take?
I don't know for sure. I would have to guess so, because I know what they're talking about is a vaccine, and they're trying to get young girls vaccinated. Yes.
Is this on the same level as being vaccinated for polio?
I don't know. I never knew that cervical cancer was, I thought with the Pap test that cervical cancer really had come under control. It wasn't out of control. Say polio was out of control before the polio vaccine.
Right. That's what I'm getting at.
I don't know. I don't understand. But
it's a controversy. I was just curious about that. Okay, now go ahead.
Okay. The next one, Acomplia, is an obesity-fighting drug from Aventis.
When can I get that, Joan?
Pardon me?
When can I get that? I want that.
Boy, I'm
I need I need some of that.
Yes. Another antidepressant. It's a treatment for major...
Wait. I'm not through with the obesity thing.
I'm sorry. We just don't have a lot of time.
I'm in charge of the time here, Joan.
Okay.
The obesity, we talk about the things I'm interested in, Joan. Joan, it's all about me. If you haven't figured that out by now.
Cheers, right?
So an obesity fight, do we know how it does it?
Well, we say blocks signals to the brain that can cause people to overeat, so you won't want that cupcake anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, you're skeptical. You sound skeptical.
So I was hoping that it would allow me to eat the cupcake and still not get fat. That's the hat trick, Joan.
You're right.
Okay, go ahead. Now you can go ahead, Joan.
Prestique is a treatment for major depressive disorders from Wyeth.
Well, as a talker, I need this desperately, too. And so it it also treats hot flashes?
Well, actually, it would be a sort of a menopause drug to treat hot flashes, which I think would be very helpful to a lot of women.
Oh, boy. This hot flashes are a real problem for women.
Yes.
In the menopause age.
They are.
It really
is.
Okay, what's the next one?
This sounds like a good one. A clot blocker for stroke patients. I don't understand how that works, but it's called Prasugrel.
Nobody cares,
Joan.
Nobody cares what the name is.
Well, in case they want to, they might want to write this down.
No, they won't. They're not writing this down, Joan.
Okay.
For stroke patients. So that's for people who have a tendency to have strokes.
Had a stroke to block further clots.
Right. Or what if you...
I wonder if this is an alternative maybe to Coumadin.
Exactly. It would make you wonder. All right, what's the other one?
This is interesting. Folks with type 2 diabetes, this would be you take this once a day. It's a treatment called Galvus from Novartis.
And this is for diabetes? Okay, you know what that is? You know what type 2
is? Well, type 2 is they used to call that, older onset or whatever. It's when older folks... because, for whatever reason, I don't know if they don't, because they don't eat right or their insulin goes out of whack. Type 1 is the type that you get when you're much younger, and it's because your pancreas shuts down and doesn't stops making insulin. But type 2 is the thing that's becoming the epidemic in the United States.
And it's going to continue to be the epidemic as baby boomers age.
Right.
And if we don't get this this obesity-fighting drug in, right?
Exactly.
So those two kind of go together, don't they?
Sure, Sam.
So we need that obesity-defying drug, so we don't need the other one.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
So you got to come to this show to get this kind of logic, ladies and gentlemen. You don't get this kind of they don't sort this stuff out anywhere else, Joan.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Quickly on the small business front with the SBA, tell us what's happening there.
Well, several years ago, the government stopped funding the SBA's 7A loan program so that it exists only on the money that comes in from fees paid... the program, both lenders and borrowers. But now we're saying the Democratic-controlled Congress wants to restore an appropriation to the program, and Bush doesn't like the idea because he's the one who took it away, but he won't veto it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he won't veto it because it's going to be put in with a lot of other stuff.
Right. Mr. Bush believes that... It's an interesting way. We'll have to talk about how Republicans and Democrats think about small business. We'll have to think about... is the best. Gotta go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.